Welcome to Chapter 82 of the Kinsmen Die podcast, home of fantasy fiction based on Norse mythology that's written and read by me, Matt Bishop. In this podcast, I read my first novel, Kinsmen Die, one chapter at a time. And with each episode, when it makes sense, I provide some commentary about the source materials I've referenced in the text. This week, we're back with Frigg, the wife of Odin and the all-mother of Gladsheim. As readers, we've learned quite a bit more than Frigg has since we last saw her in Chapter 77. And yet, Frigg has learned a few things as well. Through her visions, she believes that her son Baldur's life is threatened. Frigg and Odin learned that the mistletoe in which they'd hidden Baldur's spirit, this is what makes him invulnerable, was vandalized and taken. Frigg believes that the witch Yelena was responsible for doing that. But she doesn't know why or if Yelena was acting under her own initiative, for some reason, or another's directives. Frigg and Odin also believe that Loki and perhaps Angerboda are involved in the plot on Baldur's life. Odin left to summon Angerboda's spirit to get answers from her. We know how that went. Odin was cursed by Angerboda, and we last saw him wandering off into the wild forest near the Gjoll. We also know from much earlier chapters that Loki does intend to murder Baldur during Midwinter, and that the Jotun plan to attack Gladsheim about a month after Midwinter. However, Angerboda told Odin that Hodur would be the one to kill Baldur. So there's some confusion here as to what will actually happen. With that short summary out of the way, let's rejoin Frigg. Chapter 82, Frigg. The procession through Gladsheim worried Frigg. Baldur would first be carried around the lower tier, then the middle tier, and then the upper ring. During that entire time, from midday to midnight, even a one-eyed Greybeard could strike that target. She winced at that thought, since her absent husband, Odin, partly fit that description. Still, the thought of Baldur prominently at risk worried her. There were only so many wardens she could have posted along the route and close to Baldur before the folk noticed and began to think it strange. But Yelena was loose and was involved in the cutting out of the heart of the mistletoe in which they'd hidden Baldur's spirit. And since Yelena was a shapeshifter, she could be anyone or anywhere. Loki, too, was a suspect, along with Angerboda, Loki's dead wife. Odin had left to interrogate Angerboda's spirit, but had not yet returned despite having promised, as he always did, to return before the midwinter festivals began. And those were imminent. And where was Odin? Nowhere to be found, even by Heimdall. She swore to herself and pushed those thoughts from her mind. She needed to focus on what she could control. On her fingers, she listed the measures she'd taken. The Great Hall, which is where Baldur's procession would arrive, was locked down, side doors barred and wardens posted. Mistletoe itself could not be turned into a weapon, not by any means she knew. Odin might know a way, but he wasn't here. She pushed back the wave of anger and resentment that bubbled up at that thought. It didn't help. What might help is the task she'd given Hermod. Make sure nothing wooden in the hall could be pried loose and used against Baldur. Hermod had made triply sure that was the case. She'd also told Fimafeng that no weapons of any kind would be permitted into the hall itself. Instead, stones would be thrown during the ritual, stored in barrels set before her platform and moved only when it was time to begin. What else was there to do? She'd already persuaded Heimdall to watch, and she'd alerted Tyr. But no other Jarls would be present this midwinter. Not unusual, but this year she would have liked the extra eyes. Especially since Yelena had killed Gulfin, she'd foreseen his death, and that worried her. It wasn't that Gulfin's passing was necessarily linked to any time that overlapped with her vision of Baldur burning in a flaming ship, but combined with Yelena, the cut mistletoe, and her other visions, Klaki being killed by Jotun spears was just one example. But she'd also heard nothing about Vidar or his journey into Utgard. Heimdall couldn't find him, which, again, wasn't that unusual, given the low gray clouds and snowstorms that almost always covered those lands. But still, it was another burden on her shoulders, a burden that she bore alone. She was on edge. She wanted to scream or tear her hair, to curl up under a warm blanket and let someone else handle it. But there was no one else. Instead, she paced back and forth in the room behind the platform in the great hall. She stared into the hearth, enjoying the heat and the snap and pop of the logs, until the vision of Balder burning in the ship surfaced in her mind. What else? What else was she missing? Other than the death playing out in flames above the heads of everyone she set eyes on? She snorted. Fire and death. Death and fire. No matter where she looked. If they could only find that shape-shifting bitch who'd savaged Balder's mistletoe, that would help. But how could they find a shapeshifter in a city in which so many thousands lived and was now home to many more thousands who'd come to celebrate Midwinter? Questions hung in her mind like decorations. Why hadn't the witch cut and burned all of Balder's mistletoe? Why hadn't she burned the tree or the entire grove? And how had she figured out where Balder's spirit had been hidden or even known what Frigg had done? Who was the mistress the witch referred to? Frigg's gut twisted. Angerboda seemed possible, but Loki's first wife had been dead a long time. Too long for this young witch to have learned from directly. Unless Yelena was much older than she looked, which, as a shapeshifter, was not impossible. Or perhaps Angerboda had formed a coven before she died and passed her hatred for Odin and the Aesir down to them. Mother? Frigg looked up to see her daughter clad in full armor, sword strapped to one side, axe to the other. No doubt she wore a knife at the small of her back. Hermod's dark golden hair was gathered into a tight braid and doubled upon itself. She looked much older and more serious than she should at 25 years. She hadn't even eaten her first fruit. The hall is locked, and I've done what I can to check Balder's route for anything suspicious or potentially harmful, Hermod said. I'll walk the route again tomorrow morning and recheck the hall to make sure my hidden marks haven't been disturbed. Excellent. Thank you, Hermod. So will you tell me why we're taking all these precautions? I know it's because of some threat to Balder, but... But he can't be hurt or killed, so what's the point? She wanted to say that might not be as true as they thought. Instead, she continued. You saw what the Suns did at the docks. The precautions aren't so much for Balder as they are for everyone. We can't have a battle break out in the middle of the hall. Although, it wouldn't be the first time. Hermod hitched up her sword belt and forced the pommel down so she could sit comfortably. Any word from Father? Frigg shook her head. Nothing. Heimdall still can't see him either. He has time to keep his promise, Hermod said with all the confidence of a child who barely knew her father. Yes, he does. But you don't think he will, do you? Her smile felt lopsided and forced. Midwinter starts tomorrow. 3 nights out, 3 nights back, puts him back tonight. There's still time, Hermod repeated. Then, with a note of hesitation in her voice, she added, Mother? It was that hesitation, the uncertainty, that made her look up. Hermod flashed a nervous smile. How much danger are we actually in? Frigg straightened up. Danger? I'm not sure. Mother, please, I'm not the child I was when Father left. There's more going on than just a possible threat on my brother's life. That witch you found killed Gulfin and then escaped. Rota tore Yelena's home apart, looking for some clue as to where she might have gone. And since he returned, Father's barely been home for more than a handful of nights. Then he was nearly killed at Ithaval, lost his eye, and then there's this attack on Halls, those fools setting the ships on fire. And having spent so much time patrolling the city these last few days, it almost feels like we're in a dry bonfire that's ready to be kindled. So how much danger are we actually in? Hermod had grown up. She had a choice, either treat her youngest as if she were still a child, or tell her the truth. You remember I told you we'd all sit down and tell you everything? Hermod nodded. Well, that time has come.
Well, folks, that was chapter 82 of Kinsmen Die. I hope you enjoyed it. Not much happening myth-wise in this chapter. Frigg reflects on the preparations she's made to protect Baldur during the midwinter celebration and decided to bring her daughter Hermod into the family secrets. Next week, we're back with Hodur. Until then, if you have the time and inclination, please rate or review the podcast. That helps boost the show's visibility, as does sharing it. As always, I'm going to read from both the Bellows and Larrington translations of the Havamal, the sayings of the High One, Odin. Bellows, verse 82. When the gale blows, hew wood. In fair winds, seek the water. Sport with maidens at dusk, for day's eyes are many. From the ship, seek swiftness. From the shield, protection. Cuts from the sword, from the maiden, kisses. Larrington, verse 82. In a wind, one should cut wood. In fine weather, row on the sea. In darkness, chat with a girl. Many are day's eyes. Use a ship to glide along, a shield for defense, a sword for blows, and a girl for kisses. Thanks for listening.